obviously the full-time job. I'm super excited. Called mom and dad, told the girlfriend, and then it was kind of like a an oh my God moment of like, okay, I'm leaving this internship, probably the quickest anybody has ever left an
Yeah,
internship.
world record.
Said bye to the head coach and all the players and the Zach, the strength and conditioning coach at Iowa, and they just wished me the best of luck, and I was on my way.
Brett Platts of the Texas Rangers strength coach joining us on TSP to share his stories, lessons, and experiences that have brought him to now. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good man, good man. Tell me one good thing that's going on in your life, and then we'll get this party started.
Just enjoying the baseball life, to be completely honest. On the road pretty much every single day, enjoying some sun, enjoying some ball, and I mean, can't complain. Life is great.
Heck yeah. So he is from the Great White North from Canada. That's why he's such a super nice guy. But I forgot how we originally got connected through DMs. I think it was probably on Twitter. I forgot who said hello first. But long story short, multiple kind of phone calls later, Brett has been super nice just in his camaraderie, his time, his expertise in the baseball space. And I'm having him on to share a little bit more about kind of his journey leading him to the Hickory Crawdads. Crustacean Nation hashtag I saw. Pretty cool logo too. But prior to his stop with the Rangers, he has spent time with the Chicago Cubs. And let's get into or first, what did I miss? Anything?
No, I mean, you hit the nail on the head right there. I mean, prior to the Cubs, internship at Iowa for probably maybe 4 weeks, and then I got the call from the Cubs, and then before that, it was just back home in Canada enjoying the cold white north, pretty much.
And then the rest is history. So we will get into it. So what is the biggest kind of fork in the road moment or story? So looking back, if you had gone left instead of right, kind of everything would be different.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, prior to me joining the Cubs organization, I was at a point in my life where it was, I didn't know where I wanted to go. I wasn't sure if I wanted to stay in the private sector. I had my own business going. I had Division One athletes. I had athletes from all over. And I just had general population people, and I loved what I did. But definitely growing up playing baseball, especially in the collegiate setting, I just missed that team setting. So I knew I needed more, and I definitely had to fulfill a competitive drive of some sort. So luckily enough, one day I obtained all 30 clubs, all the directors, assistant directors, and coordinators. And that night I sent out probably three emails per club and just asking for a, foot in the door. Just get your name out there and see what stuck. And luckily enough, Corey Kennedy with the Chicago Cubs reached out
Who's been on the pod?
probably about 3 months later, after I joined the University of Iowa, did the internship there. So, I left that internship and ended up going over to the Cubs. But not sitting at that kitchen table and sending out all of those emails is something that I definitely look back on, and I'm glad I did. Because it definitely brought me to where I am now.
It's wild you say that, and longtime listeners will know this story, but it was actually the week of COVID, March 2020. We were on a plane going to South Carolina with the TCU Beach team. And I don't know what it is about travel that makes you nostalgic, but I was just like looking out the plane window and I was like I'm getting paid or paid for to travel literally across the country and then like watch and support like the girls play and then talk about the data on Monday. Like, how sick is this, right? So then I was like, well, if I want to be a Power Five sports scientist, well, I should ask Power Five sports scientists how they got their jobs, right? So I had, all the, well, RIP the Pac-12, but I had all of the staff directories, and then I would scroll through, and then anyone who had sports science in their names, I hit them up, whether it was email, IG, Twitter. And it was interesting, kind of, and then they would lead me to someone else, to someone else, to someone else. And yeah, it was just like so much when you have first a direction for yourself, but then also I call it like the XYZ formula where it's like I do X, you do Y, and I want to specifically talk to you about Z. Like, how easy is it to say yes to that DM versus like, let me pick your brain, you know? So shout out to you, man, for just making it happen and taking action. And what was it like when you first got that email back, if you can remember?
Yeah, so I remember getting an email on like a Monday, and I was very excited. It came out of the blue. Like Corey just emailed me very randomly because we were staying in touch. And it's like, hey, I want to interview you for this position. And I originally just wanted an internship. Like I was just gonna work for free. I just wanted a foot in the door, get my name out there. But he offered a full-time position, so I was super excited. Did an interview probably like midweek, and he's like, okay, that was great. Like, we'll get back to you in a couple of days. And then my mind is like, what's a couple of days? Like, it's two, right? Haven't heard back in 2 days. So I'm kind of freaking out. My girlfriend with me at the time is in Iowa while I'm doing my internships, trying to calm me down because I'm a very anxious person waiting to hear back from Corey. And it's like a Saturday. I'm going into the Iowa's football stadium for their baseball practice. And then Corey calls me then, offers me the full-time job. I'm super excited. Call mom and dad, told the girlfriend. And then it was kind of like an oh my God moment of like, okay, I'm leaving this internship, probably the quickest anybody has ever left an
Yeah,
internship.
world record.
Said bye to the head coach and all the players and the Zach, the strength and conditioning coach at Iowa. And they just wished me the best of luck, and I was on my way.
Geez, and the rest is history.
Yep.
When did it hit you of like, oh, I have some work to do now? You know, like all the excitement kind of fades, and then you're like, wait, I have to learn about this. I got to plan this. I got to, like, how long did that kind of like honeymoon excitement fade?
Probably 2 days, like the day of, and then the next day, I more or less like celebrated. Like, I just took me and the girlfriend, we just went for breakfast and just enjoyed the moment because we knew it was going to be a lot was going to change. I mean, our whole relationship was, on the road and apart. So now it was like, okay, I'm going to the Dominican Republic for the entire year. I'm not going to see you. So, pretty much like one day, and then the next day, driving back was like, okay, like, there's a lot of stuff to catch up on. So just like getting on the phone with Corey, getting on the phone with John Abbott, the Chicago Cubs sports
Hey, who's
scientist.
also been on?
Yep. And just, picking their brain of like what to expect. And the reality is, you learn by firsthand experience of just showing up. And luckily for me, like I got to show up to the spring training complex and just absorb as much information as I could, take everything in and just apply what I could, and then I was on my way, and you learn by doing.
How's your Spanish going into that?
Spanish was a zero going into that,
Oh
and
man.
that so I definitely had to learn quite a bit. I'm still learning, but just the experience was amazing.
And then last kind of question on that topic, was there anyone that you knew that knew Corey, or was it straight up just that email that got you the response?
So, yeah, nobody knew Corey. And like, that was my original way to get into like professional baseball. I was like, somebody must know somebody to give me a chance, right? And like, the answer was no. Like, nobody knew. Nobody gave me any guidance of like who to email, who to call, who to connect with. It was all just like make your own connections. So, luckily enough, like, Corey trusted me and he gave me the opportunity. He's also a fellow Canadian, so that might have helped.
Hey.
I'm not sure. But yeah, I owe him. I mean, he got me my first job in professional baseball, and he actually messaged me the other night, so we still stay in contact, and he started it all, so I appreciate him.
Super nice guy. Couldn't say enough good things about him as well. And usually with stuff like that, it's like if you applied and then someone else says, hey, like my guy Brett just officially submitted his application and like check it out. And then that takes you from the list of 100 into the top, you know, if all the resumes were like in a pile, that like gets you near the top ish. So usually
Yep.
that's how it goes, but it's kind of crazy that it was just a straight up cold email.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. It was crazy.
So next, let's so that's kind of like beginning. So now we'll go middle. So what is the coolest, craziest story that you have so far? So typically like the one you always keep in your back pocket, if you're out at a bar and someone asks you about what you do for work.
Absolutely. I mean, my life has just been a crazy event altogether. I think like just the crazy stories I have are just meeting people along the way, especially in the Dominican Republic, like Boca Chica, Dominican Republic. Like, it's quite the town. So just being down there and being around that culture, getting to know the players, getting to know the staff, meeting World Series champions, meeting MVPs, meeting Cy Young winners. Like that's a special place in my heart. I'm very thankful to have those opportunities. As far as like craziest moment, like I definitely looked up to Marcus Stroman growing up as a baseball player. Obviously, he's with Chicago Cubs. Last year's spring training, I saw him sitting outside on the turf, and it was like probably my third day in. And I was like, there's no way I can leave here and go to the Dominican with it, at least without introducing myself to him.
Saying hello, yeah.
Exactly. So, probably the nicest human being I've ever met. Very outgoing. And we literally just talked about, his friend that writes music, and he's an artist that I listen to. And we just talked about
Mike
him
Stud?
for, Mike Studd.
Dude, I love Mike Stud.
So we talked about him for probably like 10 minutes, and that was that. But just the fact that, he took the time out of his day to just like have that conversation, and it wasn't just like a 30 second like, oh, that's cool. No, he took the time of the day, asked me where I was from and how I knew his friend and why I listened to his music. And I think he went to throw a bullpen like 10 minutes later.
Wild. I haven't had the chance to interact with many. I guess to me that's like a celebrity. For you, that's like a coworker. But from what I can like remember of people being interviewed like that, where it's like they just want people to say hello. It's like, no, I'm a regular dude. So I'm sure he appreciated that for sure. I fangirled when I met Eric Cressy.
Yes.
I think I've told that story. We did an internship, or sorry, during my internship, my boss and our director of marketing went out to see Boyle in his place. And it was actually on my 19th, no, 20th birthday, 19th birthday, something like that. Like literally, I got in early to set up all the chairs and stuff. And then my boss walks in with Eric, because they got coffee and they were gonna check out the facility and stuff. And I literally just like didn't say a word and shook his hand. And my boss is like, oh, this is Matt. He plays college baseball. He's been doing a great job interning for us. And I like read all his articles and like all this stuff. I'm just like, hey. And everyone gave me so much crap after for it. But good for you for going up and saying hello. So anyone and anyone else that you fangirled over, or are you pretty good at keeping your cool?
I'm usually pretty good at keeping my cool, mainly just because now I'm surrounded by all the professional athletes, so I'm very thankful for that. But definitely Stroman. Travis Kelce did walk into the weight room at the
Where?
Cubs spring training complex.
What was he doing out there?
That's a great question. So this is probably my sixth day in, and we're sitting in the office. I think it's like me, Corey, John, and like maybe Claussen, major league strength coach. And we're just like, who is that? Like in the middle of the weight room. And he's got like a security team around him. And we're just like having coffee, as strength coaches do. We're just like, who on earth is that? Like, that is not a familiar face. Anyways, turns his face, and it's Travis Kelce. We all just
Oh
like jumped out
my.
of our seat. We're just like, that's Travis Kelce. What is going on right now? So he's just a fan of the Cubs and just decided to show up. Because you
Cool.
can do that when you're Travis Kelce, apparently.
That's
And yeah,
funny.
he went to take batting practice and all that stuff. And so that was definitely pretty cool.
I think that is a life goal to be like a person where someone else wants to come up and talk to you. I feel like that'd be such a cool feeling. I got that a few times at the 1080 Summit out in Utah. Like people just commented that they like my YouTube videos and stuff. And I know that the 1080 guys pretty well, and it's a very niche piece of technology, obviously. So I make a decent amount of content around that. So if you follow 1080, you've probably seen something that I've posted on Twitter or whatnot. But it was cool where they were like, "Are you Matt?" but super cool to see like some of the positives of this field, that you can live your life saying, hey, I'll chat with Marcus Stroman. So very, very cool. So next, I guess we'll get to, so we did past, present, and then future, kind of looking back. So the story that, you're most proud of, or like the full circle kind of payoff moment where maybe it did take some reflection or some time into the future to realize at that moment, everything played out how it did, or it needed some time to kind of manifest and turn into a kind of payoff. So anything kind of like that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that comes down to like ultimately my decision to leave the Dominican and just leave the Cubs organization as a whole. I think that was a very hard decision for myself. And I didn't know what to expect. You know, I knew I originally had a chance to go to the affiliate life and explore that option. But I wasn't sure, you know, what would entail my future by leaving, you know, the Cubs organization.
For the Rangers.
So October 31st, contract is up, the Cubs. And luckily enough, you know, I think I sent an email like that day to Logan, our assistant director here at the Texas Rangers. And I got on the flight and he texted me as soon as I landed in Canada. He actually tried to call me and I was freaking out because I was like, I just missed an interview. But no, he texted me later and just said, hey, like, give me a call when you're free. And I mean, called him right back. We hit it off. I would probably say like six interviews later with all aspects of player development. Like, it wasn't just the high performance team. It was field directors, ATs, strength Jeez. Coaches. So that was very eye-opening because they obviously valued, you know, all aspects of player development and working together. So that was, you know, very eye-opening for me. So yeah, after like six interviews, you know, I got the job and, you know, I was very, very excited to join the Rangers organization. And I really don't see myself, you know, leaving this organization. They've given me everything I've ever wanted. They give me room to grow and learn and explore ideas. And yeah, I can be more thankful for Logan, the assistant director, and Nappy, our director of human performance. So appreciate those guys.
What factors or considerations would go into kind of switching orgs, or if you've gotten a chance to chat with strength coaches of other orgs? So kind of not comparing and contrasting, because, you know, each club does different things well, but when it comes time to, you know, whether it's like going to a different college, obviously like baseball is baseball. It's not like you're getting different sports and teams and stuff. But what were some of those big factors that played into your kind of thought process?
Absolutely. Definitely going through the interview process. It's like, yes, there's a lot of, you know, sports science and strength conditioning questions, but like ultimately they also cared about who I was as a person and where I came from. They're very family oriented. So that was very, you know, eye-opening to hear, because that's not always the case. Usually it's just, you know, what are your strengths? Okay, great. We don't really care where you come from, but it was the complete opposite of, they almost wanted to know my personal life first. So that was perfect. And then just going through the interviews of chatting with everybody on the player development side. Like, it wasn't just the strength coaches. So that was awesome. And it just caught my attention. I was like, I really want to be a part of this organization. And I was all in on them. And, you know, they gave me the opportunity. And I was like, I said yes on the spot.
Heck yeah. So next, let's go future. So this wasn't part of the questions I sent you, but let's manifest some stuff. So Iowa internship, full-time out in the DR, and then back to the States. So I know one day that we'll see you on TV warming up some future Cy Young and MVP winners, but kind of let's casually kind of map out, you know, like you want to make it to the show. So yep. What's your kind of game plan moving forwards?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, right now it's just enjoy the affiliate life. Like, I originally started in low A this year and now I'm in high A, and, you know, I like to think sky's the limit. So just keep climbing the ladder as fast as I can and as much as I can. And obviously the idea is get to double A, succeed there, get to triple A, succeed there, and then, you know, get to the big leagues. That's the ultimate goal. I've said it multiple times, and the reality is, you know, like, that's just my goal. I want to be a big league strength coach and I want to succeed at the highest level. And, you know, I've always wanted to do that as a child, except the only caveat was playing. So now I want to be able to take my strength and conditioning talents and succeed at that level.
I've definitely had those moments going to a major league game. And then I'm probably the only person of the like 40,000 that are like looking around for the strength coach and like curious about that. Or like trying
oh,
to
I do
break,
the same thing.
They're trying to like break down their warmups because they'll do like some banded sprints and stuff like that and whatnot. So I've interviewed for a few kind of minor league jobs. Just S&C is S&C and having some baseball experience helps. But so to an outsider noob kind of like myself, what does it take to kind of get promoted within one org itself? So going from low to high to double, double, triple, is it simply a tenure thing? Is it one guy leaves and you're like the next guy up? Or is it straight up like evaluations, coach kind of feedback, and it's kind of like performance based? So how does a promotion happen?
Yeah, so I mean, a couple things go into it. Like, you definitely need an open spot available, which can sometimes be the hardest aspect because it's already hard enough to get in.
Just waiting. Yeah.
Yeah, it's already hard enough to get into professional baseball. But other than that, it's just, you know, are you approachable? Are you liked by players and staff? And it's just about how you go about, you know, your day-to-day operation. That just comes down to like performance as well. Like, we use force plates a lot and we evaluate how athletes are doing, and just athlete monitoring as a whole. You know, how healthy are guys and how much are they improving? Are they creating the necessary adaptations within season? You know, if you're not gaining, you're losing essentially. So just, you know, getting these players right. And at the end of the day, it's all about player availability on the field.
So last kind of question, as our lovely discussion is kind of piquing my interest. So totally asking for a friend, definitely not me. So if we want to talk kind of work-life balance, obviously pro ball has one of the more extreme schedules. So whether it was literally living out of the country or kind of your current day-to-day now, I know like the minor league has changed since COVID. They'll play like 6 road games in a row and then 6 home games in a row just to limit travel and stuff like that. So of course, like loving what you do, obviously, it's pretty hard to like coach and not like be into it, but I would say you're definitely in the top percenters of actually like super, super enjoying what you do. So on top of just that, how do you kind of recharge? Any recommendations for those people that are just coaching a bunch, which is a big part of the process? So when it's your time to like recharge, how do you find success in doing that?
Yeah, I think recharging is the biggest thing. Like, we have, you know, one off day a week. So I think taking that time to do whatever you want to do within that day is essential for longevity within professional baseball as a strength coach. You know, how you do that, everybody does it differently. Some guys go on hikes, some guys go fishing, some guys go hunting. Some guys just, you know, sit in their apartment and do absolutely nothing and just decompress. I think that's essential, you know, as a strength coach. I think if you're not reflecting and decompressing, having you time, then you're going to lose yourself in the process, which, you know, definitely within this field, you know, that happens a lot, unfortunately. So taking that time for yourself is essential. It's just another personal growth opportunity that needs to be, you know, taken into account.
Recently, I was chatting with someone and it was like, you're allowed to like not do something on an evening, you know? And it's like, there's so many things, you know, like the to-do list, the sticky note checklist never ends of like, I got to edit this podcast. I want to write this article. I got to hit up these people. I got to like, do this is this. It's like, no. You can like, just when you're done for the day, just like go home and like not
chill,
do that, you know? And it's like, what? I can like give myself permission, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
So I think an awesome message to kind of end with, maximizing the present for the future of when it's your, you know, I would say like when I'm on, I want to be on, and when I'm off, like it's got to be off for sure. So I think an awesome lesson. So, well, last, I used to ask this question. I think it's not cringy because I used to ask it, obviously. What kind of quote or mantra or anything kind of like that, whether it's like a phone background, do you think has like stuck with you a lot? So far, I'll give one because I feel like this is a good one. And I'm a big Kung Fu Panda guy. I don't know if you've seen all three of them. But there was one, Master Shifu was talking to Po or Jack Black, and he said, if you only do what you can do, you'll never be more than what you are now. And I was just thinking about that as like Kung Fu Panda had to start teaching, not just like being the Dragon Warrior, right? If no one's seen this movie, it's probably so confusing, but yeah, you have to do things that you can't do, so then you'll be more, right? Because if you only do what you can do, then you can't be more than you are now. So anything kind of like that, as simple or complex as it may be, that sticks out to you.
Yeah, I definitely got two that I take on a day-to-day approach. The first one, they kind of go hand in hand with each other, but the first one, adapt or die, Billy Bean. I mean, it's just the reality of life. Survival of the fittest. Yep, baseball all day. But yeah, I really like that one. Just adapting to your environment, the people you're around. It could be players, staff. I mean, life is a roller coaster. It's going to be highs and lows throughout. So just adapting to those situations and not take it for granted and not taking it as a grain of salt. The other one that I usually go by, if you're not failing, you're not trying. So I like that one because I definitely think that most people are going to fail within certain aspects of strength and conditioning. And it's just a trial and error. Like strength and conditioning is meant to be experimental. Like it really is. So just, you know, trying out new things, seeing what works, you know, doing your own case studies on yourself. I think that's an important aspect of strength and conditioning that can't be overlooked. And, you know, failures come big and small. So, you know, reflect on those and, enjoy that personal growth on the process.
Yeah, I had Brandon Golden on the episode before this one. Actually, he spent time with the Dodgers in East Carolina. And if you're in pro baseball, you probably know who Brandon is. But he was like, if everyone knew everything, then everyone would hit 500-foot bombs and like throw 100, you know?
Yep.
So I think it's like going into it knowing, like, if you go into a new program or whatever it is like, with all that information I have right now, I do believe that this is going to work. And then like just being okay with like, okay, well, I got to tweak this. So yeah, I think that's another huge, huge lesson. So I want to say thank you very much, sir, for taking your time on your one off day. Hopefully this wasn't too stressful. Me just peppering you with some questions, but where can the listeners get more of Coach Brett?
Follow me on Instagram, Twitter, and also like, you know, my phone and DMs are always open. I'm always up for it. Conversations like these, just talking shop about, could be life, strength, conditioning, whatever it is, I'm all for it. I'm open book. I love these elaborate conversations, and I think it just makes everybody better.
I think that's how it started with us. Probably on Twitter, just asking to hop on the phone. So super nice guy. Look at where it's led us now. So I want to say thank you very much, sir. Good luck the rest of the, I guess, is it technically? No, it's not fall, August. It's almost fall for school, so... So thank you very much, sir. And I'm looking forward to staying in touch.
Awesome. I appreciate you having me on.